CliffCentral.com. So, we are live on Friday morning, CliffCentral.com. I hope your day's off to an awesome start. We're going to try and make it a little bit better. What's happening in the world? What's going on? What's going on in the news?
Just a quick question.
Yeah?
32 kilometers. Mm-hmm. You know, because I only use time when I'm driving. Like, 32 kilometers, is that close or
so
far?
You use time.
Okay, no, well, I
32 kilometers, if there's no traffic, is 20 minutes.
By car, okay. It's not much.
Sorry, it reminds me of my cousin who moved to a new place, and she was figuring out how far it was from work to home. And when she got to the home, she phoned her boyfriend to say, okay, so I've just measured it. With traffic, it's 32 kilometers.
I will have to be honest, it took me half a second to put that together. Because to me, really, I only use time. Like, tell me
if you can travel it every day. It's quite a short distance. Like from
32 Ks is probably from Joburg to Pretoria.
Ooh.
In fact, it might even be more from Joburg to Pretoria.
Mm.
It's probably Centurion to Joburg.
Mm.
Centurion to Sandton, actually.
So it's not very far.
No, it's not far.
Not far, very far.
Why? Would you need to go somewhere today?
Then just let that sink in. Because Bill Cosby's family is only 32 kilometers away from him in prison.
Uh-huh.
But still, after all of this time, they have not visited him.
Not once.
No, couldn't be bothered.
But also, isn't this kind of funny how Camille and the rest were all like, he's innocent. These hussies are spreading lies.
Yeah.
Camille, now, that turned around quite quickly.
Yeah, Camille, like, as soon as he went to jail, she was like, I'm off on holiday.
Go to rot, you dirty old bastards.
Maybe they just can't face it, you know?
I also can't. Would you
want to see your father in jail?
Nobody can face Bill. He's disgusting.
No, have I got any visitors this week?
No, Mr. Cosby, no visitors.
Not a call from Camille. Did she send a letter? Maybe some kind of cake for my birthday?
Not a nothing.
Nothing, Mr. Cosby. Sorry, we have nothing for you.
Oh, dear.
81 years old Bill Cosby, the only person who has visited him
thus
far, is his spokesperson.
Still being paid, kid.
Do I have to rattle my cup against the bars to get your attention?
What is it, Mr. Cosby?
Still no visitors?
No, nothing.
Not even a prostitute?
Oh, no.
Definitely not for you, Mr. Cosby.
I'd just love to know what the kind of conversations he's having.
Are people
asking him about the Cosby Show?
No.
Are they asking him about rape?
Yes.
Like, what are they asking him about? And what is he telling people?
Maybe he's in charge of the rape section in prison. You know, there's all the rapists get together because nobody really likes rapists.
The sodomy section.
The sodomy section.
Well, before he had some privacy and didn't have to answer questions per se because he was in a more private environment.
Uh-huh.
Now he's just been moved to general population.
Oh.
So that's with every single Tom, Dick, and Jabba Lion.
Hey, Clyde and Tommy, come on, let's play a game of Scrabble.
Oh, dear.
I'm not wishing ill onto him.
I've got a word, pills.
But I think he's going to be shanked soon.
Oh.
If you're now in general population, now it's over, Bill. Goodbye.
I don't know. Look, you got to think of it this way as well. You got to think of it this way. If you're in a boring, ordinary prison, why would you kill Bill Cosby? He's something to talk about.
Exactly.
Maybe he'll keep you entertained.
Exactly.
I mean, he's still funny, even though he's a horrible person.
Hello, boys. Want to play some comedy games?
Like, if you're a prisoner, you've got nothing to talk about. Your life is kind of over. It's like, hey, Bill Cosby's here. I mean, let's just keep him around.
Let me tell you about Fat Albert.
He is still legally blind. We should state that.
Can't see.
And we don't know. And the only other perk, the only perk.
I've got a visitor. Hello, Camille, is that you?
No, my name's Cecil. Don't touch my face again.
The only perk he has in prison is having an assigned inmate to help him navigate his way around prison since he's blind. So someone assists him. Other than that, no. No visitors. Now you don't have your own private cell anymore. You're in general population. Bill, you're just going to get some boiled cabbage for dinner, like everyone else.
Shame, the poor man. Poor man. I mean, I'm not really feeling sorry for him, but isn't it bizarre that his family have not visited once?
Sure.
Like, you know, maybe once, just to at least show you
you're not a horrible person.
The three daughters.
Even if he's
and
a horrible person, they haven't even been to see him once.
Nope. But this is the word around prison. I love people who speak because we get to find out these bizarre things. Bill is supposedly calling himself a political prisoner in jail, and he's been likening himself.
It's got nothing to do with
politics. Nelson Mandela.
To Nelson Mandela.
It's got nothing to do.
And Martin Luther King Jr. No, he says he's targeted for his social and political views, much like his heroes.
Sure. Your views about taking women against their will while they're asleep. Yeah, that's a view. Sure.
Just because politicians do that too sometimes.
Can't they give him something to do, like, put him on the chain gang, or maybe he can fix, like, old broken chairs or something.
Well, now that he's in general population, well, good morning, Bill, if we were in the same time zone. All of the inmates in general population have to wake up at 6 a.m., and they only go back into their cells at 8:45 p.m.
Hmm.
And they spend their days, either you can have a couple of hours in the gym or the exercise yard, and then there are some classes that the inmates can undertake. And there's also a day room. Doesn't it sound quite fancy?
A day room sounds like something you'd put children into.
A day room where you can go around and lounge there. But according to the staff in the prison, Bill loves to get up just before dawn, and he does leg lifts and crunches in his cell, and then he works on a few creative projects in class.
Again, what is it? What does he do? What is a creative project in Bill's mind? Because that used to just be quaaludes and soft drinks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a creative project.
Jeez, it must be a hell of an adjustment for him. Because he'd really lived in the lap of luxury for the longest time. And that guy was famous and rich in the late 70s. So he had the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, even the 2010s, most of them.
Mm.
It's 4 decades of living like a celebrity life and having this huge house and a fortune and traveling the country and doing comedy and, you know, having sex with women against their will. And now he has to get used to a completely different life.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Scary.
All right, let's look at some other stuff that's going on. But that is funny. 32 kilometers and they couldn't be bothered. By the way, apparently Uma Thurman is in jail with Bill Cosby. She'll be the one to kill him.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Kill Bill.
She's in...
No, she's not in jail.
Oh.
From Carl. Okay, let's move on. Some other stuff in the news. First things first. Apparently, it is not sanitary to pee in the shower. Or is it?
Or is it? That's the question.
Well,
what is your take on this, Ben?
I don't think it's a habit you should get into. I think it's a slippery slope from there to then shitting with the door open. Because there's different things in place for different reasons.
It's probably my worst thing to imagine peeing in the shower. I dated someone once, and the first time he slept over, we were actually house-sitting someone's house, and he peed in the shower before I went in there, and I could smell it.
You could smell it.
But that's just it. Like, you think it's all getting washed away. No.
It's in the tiles and the crusty parts.
So you have to think of what's in pee, firstly.
Urea.
Yes, there's urea. There's urochrome, that's the pigment that gives it its color. Creatinine, ammonia, and that can really smell strong sometimes.
Urine.
If you're on certain medications or you take water-soluble vitamins, you may secrete those in your pee too as well.
I'm an asparagus fan.
Fun fact, pee isn't actually sterile.
No.
Many scientists for a long time thought it was. The idea stemmed from the belief that it was all kept within the urinary tract, which includes the bladder, and that was understood to be most sterile because techniques of detecting bacteria in there were limited at the time. So now they're realizing that bacteria from your gut and from your vagina and all of that all gets into there.
I hate it when my vagina bacteria gets my...
No, you don't want to share that.
Yeah. No. So,
guys, it's just not hard. Where there's a shower, I will put money on there being a toilet right next to it.
Yes.
So before or after showering, you use that part of the room.
Yeah, I know people who have a toilet, but not necessarily a shower. You've always got a toilet.
Yes, you might have a bath.
We even have one here, and we don't necessarily have a shower.
And, I mean, it's obvious, well, I say obviously, but not to many people, not to everyone, not to pee in the shower in public places as well. That's, you know, where you share the channel. Hot water at the gym. Oh, God. And they're saying if you do want to wee in your own shower, then there are some rules that you should follow. Firstly, don't pee on yourself. Just get it directly into the hole. Don't let it swirl around your feet. And use soap and water to clean it up afterwards. Just don't do it.
No, exactly. It sounds like a lot of work. I don't pee in the shower. I don't like the idea of that stuff near my feet or you know, on the floor of the shower, in the grouting, and it bothers me too much.
Yes.
I like a shower that smells almost like bleach.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like super clean.
Mm.
There's nothing alive in that shower except me.
That's how it must be.
Yes. I don't mean it must, you know, not like a hospital smell, but it's got to be clean. It's got to have that clean smell, like lemon or like a little tinge of sodium hypochlorite.
Yes.
Just a tinge.
I don't like the smell of the pseudo smell of pine or potpourri.
No. A little bit of sodium hypochlorite.
But a spring fresh might be okay.
Yes.
And lemon.
Lemon is always very clean.
Yes.
You like lemon. A little bit acidic. Eats away the shit. You know what I mean?
Mm. Just guys, there are certain rules in life. I know everyone thinks that they can be cavalier and be, oh, he's just a free spirit. But there's certain things you just don't do.
I'm also not a fan of having people blow their nose in the shower, which I've heard.
Oh, no, again, yes. Again. And also respect your shower. It's a very important part of your life.
Is it weird? I'd actually prefer pee than someone who blows their nose.
And to listen to that as well, as a partner, it's just terrible. Do all those things before you get in the shower, or blow your nose afterwards.
I know
it's the best
who,
time.
I know people who brush their teeth in the shower.
Yeah,
and
that's
shave
fine.
In the shower.
Not shave, okay.
I shave in the shower.
I have. Women have to. I mean, no, unless you do it in the bathroom.
I've got a little mirror at head height. It's just a plain mirror, no frame or anything. It's a mirror straight on the floor, on the wall next to the shower. Well, in the shower, and I shave in there. It's easy. You put on the shaving cream. It can go everywhere. Because I don't like shaving at the basin. It makes a mess. Mm. Splashing water all over
like
the place.
Like a little bird.
In my case, like a chimpanzee.
Yeah, but the spit of brushing teeth in the shower.
Yeah, I don't brush my teeth in the shower. But I do shave in the shower and otherwise just wash. I mean, isn't that what it's for?
Yeah, and you should be in there for the shortest time possible, really.
Mm. Yeah. All right, now we've shared all of this. Don't you feel closer to me?
Yes.
But I'd also just love to know an anonymous poll who pees in the shower. I'd love to know what percentage of people that we think are civilized that we walk amongst do this.
I've done it a couple
You've
of times.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Honesty. Leanne?
A couple of times.
Yeah, I've done it before where it's been like, hang on, why didn't I go to the loo before I got into the shower? Oh, no. You know, like in an emergency situation.
But is it like people who pee in public pools or in... You know,
in
the pool at the gym. You don't do that.
Just another reason I don't want to bring a child into this world. Look at, who does all of this?
People who were raised by antelope.
See, but I have them. If I hear water, if I'm around water,
you need to
syndrome, it like triggers me to pee. Yeah, so the shower doesn't work out. Now we've really bonded.
Wow. Speaking of not having kids.
You're only one step away from shitting in the shower.
And using your toothbrush to push down the hard
back. That's a visual I didn't need today, Leo.
All right.
There's someone who usually listens to the Burning Platform who just tuned in now and thought, oh, good, no politics Friday. And this is what they're hearing. They're like, please bring back the Burning Platform. All right.
Well, on the subject of not having children, some frightening forecasts of what it's going to cost to educate kids. And these come up from time to time as like shock tactics or whatever it is. But a lot of people don't ever save for their kids' education. It's like, well, I've had a kid and we'll just see how we go. But, okay, currently in 2019, if you send it to a school where kids carry knives, a good primary public school, okay, $37,700 on average a year.
That's a lot of money.
Okay?
Right.
Private school, in a primary capacity, $92,400. Just send a kid to a school where there's less chance of knives, but snooty, horrible kids.
Sure.
Private school, high school, $148,300 a year.
Wow.
Right now. And then university, where your kid will go and be brainwashed into the really stupid ideology, $64,200. So that's what you're looking at right now in the year 2019. Let's skip ahead to 2035, right? So yes. Primary school.
What is that? How many years from now? 16 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, well done. No. Yes.
Yes, 35.
Wow. Yeah. Someone did maths on the show. So, a public primary or high school, okay? 149,800 rand. For 16 years, there's your gap. Private school in a primary form, 366,700 rand in 2035. That's what's going to cost you. Private for a high school in 2035, 588,800 rand. And if we saw all universities in South Africa in 2035 and haven't all been burnt down, it will cost you 254,700 rand a year.
Hey, good morning. What's up?
Hey, morning, Cliff.
Yeah, what's happening, man?
I'm good, bro.
Okay.
Well, that's nice to know.
Anything Hello? Else?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the heavy lifting here. You come along.
No, I'm listening. I just wanted to say I just took a shower, so you guys talking about peeing. I've just done that now, so I think it's like the coolest thing ever one can do.
Did you just pee?
Yeah. It's fine. I just took a shower, so I've decided to pee. So I'm listening to you while showering. I'm like, oh, these guys, they're embarrassing me. It's like they've seen me. Oh, God.
All right, well, this call has gone really well. We'll talk next week, all right? Thank you. Wow.
Oh.
Listen, based on those numbers Ben's just given us, I don't know how anyone can have more than one child. Even one is just, it's such an expense.
It's scary now to think about if you have just had a child now.
Mm-hmm.
In 16 years' time, your child will be in high school. And Ben, what's the 2035 high school figure, private high school figure?
Private high school figure is 588,800 rand a year.
Oh! And you've got to pay
almost 600,000 rand.
You've got to pay for 5 years of that. Now listen, and then you get to university, and like you see all these people at the Durban University. They're all demanding that they get housing, driver's licenses, food,
tablets,
because their parents made them without planning for their futures. And I'm terribly sorry to say this, but if you're a parent and you do that, and you raise children who then expect someone else to pay for them, you've done the whole world a disservice. You've not added incredible value to Earth. What you've done is exactly the opposite. You've made it Sia and Leanne and Ben and Gareth and everybody else's problem to raise your child. And it's not our job. We are not here to pick up where you left off. It's goddamned irresponsible. And now to have all these students in KZN and all over the country, frankly, there are a whole bunch of students who are at university who want someone else to stand in for their parents because they were raised badly. I'm sorry, that's the truth. You were raised badly because now you're expecting someone else to be your mommy or your daddy because you didn't have a mommy or daddy to look after you and to teach you what right and wrong were. And to teach you that the world didn't owe you a living. And God alone knows you watched too many episodes of some TV show that you started to think everybody else has to care for you. Well, they don't. And then they have to pay for you? Ha! Since when? I didn't make you. Why the hell should I pay for you to go to university? I do not have children. For a good reason. Because I enjoy my life and I like spending my money on me. Now, you can criticize that if you like, but it's my choice.
Mm.
What isn't my choice is your parents' choice to make you and then foist you upon me. That's not right.
Foist.
It's been foist. Foist is the only word, right? Goddamn brilliant word, foist.
Oh, not like moist.
Foisted on me. And now, among other things that I have to pay for, that I didn't ask to pay for, that I'm forced by tax to pay for, like e-tolls, which I refuse to pay, and some other things that I can't get away from, like Eskom and their tariff increases and municipal fees and, you know, electricity and water and security and private health care and all that kind of stuff. Now I'm also required to pay for someone else's child? I don't see how that's right. I'm sorry.
No.
I didn't make you. Not my problem. And then parents are still going to have 5 or 6 kids. You can't make that everyone else's problem. That is so irresponsible.
Yeah, but it happens. What can you do?
If you're pregnant right now, screw the baby gift registry at some shop. You need an investment account.
Yeah.
Yeah, start saving now.
If your friends want to chip in, they can add to the principal amount in an investment account. Yeah, this is rough.
I'm actually going to a two-year-old's birthday tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say, here, yeah, it's money for education.
A couple of $100, yeah.
Be more appreciated. He's got enough toys.
Greg, who's here in our office, he just had a baby yesterday.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov to Greg and Nats, who just had their baby. We're very excited about that. Greg has already put 3/4 of everything he has into an account.
Notice Greg actually wasn't wearing clothes last week. He has a shirt left from tatty boxes.
That's right.
He sold everything.
He's had to sell everything just so that this kid can go to university one day.
He arrived here on a mule as well.
Not even like a horse, a mule.
A stubborn mule.
He was licking the carpet at lunch. It was just terrible.
Time's on time.
There's a kid who's become a hero in
I
the
had
U.S.
I give him a turnip.
Of turnip.
Which he took home to his family.
This little kid got invited to the presidential address in the U.S.,
right?
Oh,
yeah, the State of the Union.
Yeah, his name is Joshua Trump. He's 11.
Is he related
He's
to
not
Donald?
Related.
Oh.
And so Melania invited him and I think 12 other kids.
Were they all called Trump?
No, not all of them. Okay. It's not like the Von Trump family.
All right, so Joshua Trump, this kid, yeah?
Yeah, he actually had to leave school because of all the bullying. He dropped out of school.
Oh, yeah?
Because kids were, you know, saying that he was a horrible person because of his
surname. Oh, because of his surname, right. Okay.
Called him an idiot and stupid.
Well, there's some terrible parenting as well, because what do those kids care about politics?
Yes.
Their parents have now made that a thing.
Yeah. So, although they took him out of school in 2017 to homeschool him, when he returned from middle school the following year, the bullying persisted. His mother, Megan Trump, even signed him up for a different school bus to avoid students who were teasing him.
That's horrible.
But then the first trip, the driver questioned him about his name. So, yeah, he's one of 13 people to receive special invitations to the address. And here's the thing that's made him famous. He fell asleep.
Yes.
And he... Lots of pictures of him with
well,
his...
Of course he fell asleep, Leanne. The first thing he has to mean bullies, getting some rest.
Yeah, exactly. And he's woken up a celebrity in the U.S. People are like, now that's... They're saying Joshua Trump rules. Welcome to the resistance. Remember the president, we found out he spends nearly 60% of his scheduled time at the White House in executive time.
Yeah.
People were tagging him in the post and saying everybody needs a little executive time.
Right. Okay, so basically because the Democrats bullied him and Democrat parents taught their kids it's okay to victimize another child because his surname is Trump, then they were against him. So Melania invites him to the State of the Union. Because he falls asleep, he's now in the resistance. You know, he's against Trump. You know, stupidity of this is just mind-boggling. But let's just for a minute forget about that and move on to calls. Oh, hang on. Press the wrong button again. Oh, and again. No, that wasn't my fault, actually. There was a call and it's just gone. So I'm trying to get this. I'm getting there. We got 3 or 4 good ones on this morning, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to punish myself. All right. Well, well done to Joshua Trump. Joshua Trump, you've got an uncle in the politics business.
Joshua Trump.
I like that. So is there... Yes, Ben?
No, you carry on.
No.
Okay, I was going to say, you know how much money Tinder makes?
No.
How do they make money? What do we do?
You swipe.
You can pay if you want to do super likes or something like that.
Well, whatever it is, they've got revenue streams in it. Obviously, the huge database they've got.
Mm-hmm.
$465 million in a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we're in the wrong business. We should be hooking people up.
They've just increased their revenue by 21%.
That's amazing.
They're not even the ones doing the hard work. It's everyone who's put themselves on there.
These guys are listed. The shares jumped 11%.
That's amazing. Huh? Good for them. And that's just people swiping left and right.
Yeah, well, look, they've also managed to open up the industry, so to speak. They're now available in 190 countries. There are 46 languages on Tinder. 190 countries are swipers.
Jesus.
Hmm.
So just when you think these things are like kind of burning out in the background, no, they're going strong.
Hey, Adam, what's up?
Hey, Gareth, how are you, bro?
Yeah, good.
Cool, man. Just to talk about these people with many kids. Mm-hmm. So I've got one child.
Mm-hmm.
We live in Dubai. Mm-hmm. And he's 5 years old now. So for him to go to preschool is about 17,500 rand a month.
Oof, a month?
Yes. Yeah, 4,000 So it's 4,850 dirhams per month for this child to go to preschool, which is 17,500 rand.
Mm.
Now, I've got friends who's got, they've got two, three, four kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly don't know how they do it. And then we always get questions. So, like, when you go to, like, a play group or someone's birthday, like, hey, we only have one child. Where's the second child, you know? And there's no way.
No. You and your wife will be you'll be eating only one turnip for the rest of your life if you have another child.
Crazy.
Just tell me, is Joshua an impressive child? I mean, you know, you're putting all this money into him. Is he talented? Can he do something interesting? Is he really good looking? Is he fast?
Well, he needs to start getting his shit together. Because I'm keeping all these bills on the side. He's just going to square me out one day when he's 18, you know?
Right. People talk about a return on investment, you know?
And also, I mean, every time we want to go on vacation somewhere, he needs a plane ticket, you know? So if you have two kids, that's plus two tickets. When they get a certain age, you pay for them in a hotel. So, yeah, no, listen, I think you've got to be sensible in terms of what you can afford.
This Joshua sounds like a bit of a fucking leech, if you ask me.
Well, I mean, no, he's cool. I think
a bit of a taker.
He's going to be okay.
He's just a bit of a taker. That's the problem. He doesn't seem to add much value back.
No, listen. How old is he now?
5 years old.
He's five. We'll give him another 3 years.
That's a long time for him to be sponging off of you five whole years.
In the Industrial Revolution, he would have had two jobs by now.
Yeah, back in the Charles Dickens days, he would have been in the workhouse.
Yeah, you know that. No, he's cool, bro. So, yeah, but shot for the show and also to hear your voice again, Leanne.
Yeah, good to hear from you, dude. Did you hear that, Leanne? He was saying good to hear your voice. Give him the sex voice. Come on.
No.
Come on. You reward the guy. Come on.
What's your name again?
Adam.
just send love to him and Joshua. Go.
Love to you and Joshua.
Oh, that's only creepy because Joshua's five. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Bye bye. There we go. Aren't we having fun?
No blissack.
Oh, it's all happening. All right, so Ben says that finally Tinder are making money. Are Twitter making money? Because they still haven't made any money.
Twitter growth in South Africa itself has stalled.
Oh, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
People have lost interest, huh? Because it's become so shit. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I would also say because brands are spending more time and energy on Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So that might skew the stats a bit as well.
Yeah. Look at what a juggernaut Twitter used to be.
Yeah, because it was new, it was fresh, and it was very, it was kind of informative, and it still is. Like, I still believe it's the best platform for sport, because things can be exchanged, because sport people talk to each other.
Yeah.
Like, opinions and arguments and that kind of stuff.
Well, we got a call from Mobile earlier, and he's just joined Twitter today. So
he sounds like me the worst guy on Twitter. He's going to be just throwing shade left, right, and center.
He's new. I mean, he's the only person I've ever heard of in the last 4 years who's joined Twitter rather than leaving it. But good for him.
So, emoji updates. Do these things happen from time to time?
Yes, we got a new one.
A new.
Have you guys not spoken about the pinching hand yet?
No, tell me.
So there's a...
Love this.
Obviously, I mean, look, when whoever made emojis made an aubergine, they didn't think throbbing cock.
Yes.
Okay, but that's... I mean, anyone ever uses the aubergine emoji unless to show something sexual.
Always. It's a cock, yeah.
Yes.
So now there's the pinching hand emoji.
Oh, yes? That's to show a small penis.
No, but like if you want a pinch. So if it's like, how much salt do I use? You can respond with just a pinch.
Okay.
Or, you know, why would you pinch someone?
Comes up,
pinch. But now, obviously, this is going to be used as a small penis. So it's like how... So someone's going to say...
Because the fingers are a little bit apart from each other.
Yeah, so someone's going to say, so how was the date last night? And then she's going to go...
Small penis.
Pinch emoji. And then it'll be
this is the newest update, Ben.
Oh, so it can also be used sarcastically. Like, how embarrassed did you feel? And then you go, just a little bit.
I love this.
That is going to be the small penis.
What else is there?
Well, this is kind of the big thing.
Oh, this is the pinch one. That's it, huh? I thought you had a whole bunch more for me. It's like when your favorite game gets an update. Because WhatsApp's our favorite game. Yeah. And when you get new emojis to play with, it makes things exciting. I have discovered and rediscovered the joys of LinkedIn, which is actually really boring, but... It is a place where you can have proper conversation. The best thing about LinkedIn is it gives you automated responses that you can just click on. Like if someone says, hi, Gareth, I can click on hi.
Oh, nice.
I don't have to type it out. How are you? I just have to press the button. It says, how are you? And then how are you comes up.
Well, my Gmail's like that.
I want that to happen for my... Up
if someone says, hi, I've just sent you this presentation. Please, can you have a look and blah, 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 blah. And it gives me three options at the bottom. Looks perfect to me, or go ahead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great. Fantastic. Looks perfect to me. Meanwhile, you haven't typed that. You haven't even read the thing.
No.
You're just getting a response out. I love that. All right. Oh, I hate emails. Oh, God. It's the bane of my existence. First thing in the morning, bling, 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 emails. Spend most of the day just trying to whittle that down to two or three. Yeah. So I don't have to scroll on the screen. And then the next week there's always one left over. You know what I'm talking about. But I suppose that's a challenge for the new year. All right. What else is happening?
Well, Gareth, you know, it's been very, very cold in America.
As a witch's titty.
Very, very cold. Like these polar vortexes, these cold yes. snaps, whatever. Yes. Well, this family found their cat essentially frozen. So they took it to the vet.
Was it standing outside frozen solid?
No, they just found it like... It's actually frozen. Like it looks like a fish has been taken out of deep freeze.
Oh my word.
The cat was frozen solid. Unresponsive. Ice frozen. And they took it to the vet. And they couldn't even register what the cat's temperature was, because it was essentially frozen. So then they used blankets, warm water, hair dryers, and for 2 hours they essentially thawed the cat out. Cat came to, it's like, well, what's the big problem? Cat's
oh
normal.
My word.
So it was fine.
Ironically named Fluffy. It's a big fluffy cat. But it was like it was an ice block.
It was frozen solid like
Why
a frozen
didn't Fluffy
chicken.
Go inside?
And then Fluffy was caught outside, obviously. And then
like a frozen chicken.
And they thought Fluffy out. And good as new.
It's amazing how you can survive something like that. Wow.
Well, you know, animals can hibernate.
Yeah.
Which basically their blood, their heartbeat slows down. They go into like a stasis. They're almost in a coma, and then they come out of it, and it feels like a long sleep. Bears do that, and other animals in the north sort of forests, areas of Canada,
but
Alaska.
This cat's got a thick coat. Imagine how long it was out there.
Shame, man. I can't think about it.
Well, he's okay.
He's fine now.
It's like, here's my cat.
Ka-donk.
Just put this over here.
Amazing. That is. So you can freeze a cat solid. Please don't put your cat in the deep freeze to try and prove the point.
Don't you?
No.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Apparently, there's a woman who is marrying her duvet. You know, we meet occasionally on the show. We refer to these people who are marrying inanimate objects. There's a guy who married the Eiffel Tower. There was a woman who married a piece of furniture in her house once. These crazy people, they've just got nothing really going on in their lives. Listen to this, and you can...
We're always being told that we don't get enough sleep and that we should be spending more time in bed.
Well, our next guest has taken it one step further.
They do sound funny, right?
These people always have these crackpot guests.
Yeah, yes, they do. And they're like my favourite couple.
What is this, like ITV?
Yeah, no, morning. So. Yeah.
Yeah, it's ITV.
In bed.
Well, our next guest has taken it one step further because she's decided to marry her duvet.
Yes.
Pascal Selick describes her feelings towards her duvet as...
Just, you haven't seen her, Ben. What colour do you think her hair is?
Matted.
What colour?
No, but that's the thing. It's so matted, it doesn't have a colour
anymore. It is. You're right. It is that matted, and it's got blues and purples and things in it.
Full of colours that hair shouldn't be. That in nature never happen.
And she's wearing her duvet on her lap.
She's got her duvet over. It's a white duvet with, like, rabbit ears or something.
Hearts or something.
Yeah, hearts or rabbit ears is the pattern.
It's the intimate and reliable relationship that she's ever had. She's here now with her wedding planner, Anna, and the duvet-to-be. So, good morning.
Good morning.
So, as we would start any of these interviews, when did you first meet your duvet?
Oh, I met my duvet a long, long time ago. We always knew.
Yeah, it was at the same time?
It was love at first sight, I think.
What is it about?
It was love at first sight, I think. What is she, a gypsy?
I have no idea what her accent is.
It was love at first sight, I think. Anyway, this Anna, the wedding planner, who's planning the wedding with this woman in a duvet, that woman is laughing all the way to the bank. She's like, I've got a complete fucking lunatic here. I'm gonna just take all her money.
Yeah, but she's playing the part. She's wearing silk pyjamas and holding a teddy bear.
For sure.
Even though she looks like a serious person.
All right.
about this duvet. I mean, you must have had other duvets before.
I had other duvets before, but yeah. Always been loyal to this one.
But this
one.
Duvet was the
this
one.
This is special. Yeah. So what is it? Just sort of describe the relationship that you have with the duvet and what it means to you.
The duvet means, basically, it gives me warm comfort. It's always there for me in time of sadness, in time of happiness. I can rely on my duvet.
But this isn't a sexual thing.
It's definitely
it?
Not sexual.
So it's like it's just like a very, very close loving friendship.
It's a close friendship, which is always there for me, reliable. And also it's kind of a message around Valentine. People could feel sometimes a little bit lonely.
Yes.
I wonder why you're lonely.
It is just bizarre.
Wonder why you're lonely, honey. Oh yeah, yeah. And the wedding planner must be just going, I'm on TV, this is great. This crackpot.
They're inviting everyone. The wedding planner's inviting anyone who wants to come from the public to the wedding.
Of course.
And you can dress up in whatever you want. So if you want to be a bridesmaid, you've never been one, or if you want to be a flower boy, you can dress up as that.
Or if you want to be a pillow.
Just imagine the kind of people that are going to come to this wedding. It's going to be a show.
My word.
Anyway, well, listen, we've only got a little bit of time left, and there's something very important I want to tell you about. Cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology have the potential to revolutionize and transform existing business processes, capable of making the world more transparent, connected, efficient, and democratic, right? We all know about that because we've been talking about blockchain technology for the longest time. Now, one of the people who truly understand this is Sonia Kunell, who is the co-founder of Bitcoin Events, which was born to educate and inform people about the opportunities offered by digital currencies. Bitcoin Events is the team around the 5th Blockchain Africa Annual Conference, which cliffcentral.com is the official premier media partner for. Let's chat to Sonia quickly and find out, she's in Cape Town, more about Africa's leading blockchain conference and what she and her team have planned. Hey, Sonia, good morning.
Good morning, Garrett. Thanks for having me.
Sure, I'm very excited about this. So what is the conference about and how long has it been going for?
Sure, Gareth. So this is our fifth annual conference. We started in 2015 and we're having our conference this year in March in two cities, firstly in Johannesburg on the 28th of February and the 1st of March, and then in Cape Town the week after on the 6th of March. So really why we started the Blockchain Africa Conference is to provide education and understanding about cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology. You know, when I started in 2013, first when I heard of Bitcoin right in the beginning, there was almost no one talking about Bitcoin, and certainly no one was talking about blockchain technology in 2013. Right. Mm-hmm. So I realized very quickly there's a lot of education that's needed, and myself and my partner, Theo Sauls, then decided to start Bitcoin Events and host these annual conferences to try and educate people in South Africa and in Africa as well.
How did you get involved? I mean, what made you want to create such a property? What drew you to Bitcoin in the first place and then blockchain technology on top of that?
Yeah, look, I was a web developer, so I used to be a little bit of a techie before I got into the space. And I heard of Bitcoin in 2013 through my husband. And at that time, as I said, no one was talking about Bitcoin in South Africa. You know, I remember trying to Google Bitcoin, and there was one or two articles in the media in South Africa. And, you know, it wasn't good articles. There was a lot of bad things happening in 2013. One of the biggest exchanges had been hacked, Mt. Gox. There was Silk Road, which was an underground marketplace to buy illicit substances. So, you know, it really intrigued me, and the more I got into it, and as we say in this industry, the more we went down the rabbit hole, the more fascinated I was by this technology. And if you read Satoshi Nakamoto's white paper on Bitcoin, you realize what revolutionary and innovative technology this really is. So I dropped everything I was doing at the time, which was web development, and I went straight into providing education. So between Bitcoin Events and the Blockchain Academy, which I also started, I'm all about providing education and information to South Africans.
Well, I think this is fascinating. I mean, a lot of people are obviously obsessed with the price, and the price has gone to new lows over the last couple of months, but that by no means invalidates the enormous potential of blockchain, right? And its application across many industries.
Yes, certainly. I mean, there is a lot of focus on the price. And, you know, people should also realize that there's a lot more than just speculation on cryptocurrencies. This technology is part of the Industrial Revolution. And, you know, I heard the State of the Nation address last night by President Cyril Ramaphosa, and I was very happy to hear that he is focusing on, you know, these emerging technologies such as the Internet of Things and machine learning and artificial intelligence. And obviously blockchain technology is one of those. So cryptocurrency price speculation is a very small part of what this technology actually can offer. Right. And especially in Africa, you know, there's a lot of problems to be solved. We're going through some crisis in South Africa already. And this technology can, you know, improve a lot of those problems we have in Africa.
So who are the people speaking at the conference?
Sure. So we have some very exciting speakers, our keynote speakers in Cape Town, and we're very honored to have the Western Cape government being part of our conference in Cape Town. We actually have Premier Helen Ziller, who's going to be keynoting, so we're very excited about that and to hear what she has to say about supporting blockchain.
Yes.
And we also have Minister Beverly Schaefer, who is the Minister of Economic Opportunities for the Western Cape.
All right.
And then in Johannesburg, we have Brian Berlinghoff. He's coming from the U.S. He's the executive director of Hyperledger.
Right, and Linux Foundation, right?
That's right. So the Linux Foundation is supporting Hyperledger Project, and they really are a B2B solution provider of blockchain technology. So really what we're doing at the conference, Gareth, is to provide information to individuals, but as well as corporate organizations and government. So it's across the board. Anyone is welcome. We're going to have a little bit for everyone. So there's not really just a focus on what are the corporates doing with this technology, but also what are the individuals, what are the startups doing with this, how can government benefit from this technology?
Some of the other people speaking will be Marcus Swanepoel, who is the co-founder and CEO of Luno. And remember, they put together that podcast series with us last year on like an idiot's guide to cryptocurrencies. We also had Simon Dingle feature in that. He's going to be their CEO of Invest Capital. And the Reserve Bank will be represented by Ulrich Dasemann. So it's going to be very exciting, Sonia. I'm looking forward to this. The conference will take place in Johannesburg at the Wanderers Club, 28th of February to 1st of March 2019, and it will be in Cape Town at the Cape Town ICC on the 6th of March 2019. For more information, you can go to cliffcentral.com and get tickets for the conference. You can also visit blockchainafrica.co or email info@blockchainafrica.co. Is that about right, Sonia?
That's perfect. And I just want to say thank you very much, Gareth, for coming on board as our premier media sponsor. We're very honored to have Cliff Central being part of this.
Well, we're interested in what you're doing. It sounds fascinating.
Fantastic. Thank you,
Gareth. Thank you so much. All right. There we go. There's something useful for you to put in the diary if you feel like being a part of the leading edge, really, in terms of what's happening in blockchain, particularly here in Africa. Sonia Kunal, the 5th Blockchain Africa Annual Conference. They've had 4 of them already. This is the one that I think a lot of people will be coming to, just from the point of view that now that the hype has died down around cryptocurrencies and people aren't just looking at it as some kind of speculative asset, there are people actually looking at the underlying technology and trying to find ways to apply it to their business. And if you're one of those people, then you know where to be at the end of February. All right, George Meany's here. Hey, George, what's happening?
Hey, Gareth, good and you?
Awesome. Nice good. To see you. What's happening in your world?
In my world, well, you might have heard some illegal street races in Cape Town. Well,
they shut some of them down, but then there was this guy who crashed. There was a video of that. Someone was sending it around on WhatsApp. Yeah, kind of dramatic.
It was dramatic. It was on the N1, I think near Sable Road, and he crashed. They were allegedly he died, and then he wasn't dead, and then and then the truth of the matter is he got his legs amputated eventually.
So he didn't die.
No, he didn't die. But
he's got no legs now, so no more racing for him.
That's a perfectly good BMW died, and that's what made me sad.
Yeah, that's very true.
But you see, this is it's all sorted itself out, really. Because the BMW was probably insured, or if it wasn't insured, maybe it didn't deserve to be insured. And the guy hasn't got legs, so he can't street race anymore. Everybody's happy now.
Yeah, yeah. But you know the one thing about these illegal street races is they heavily modify their cars, and they move these races around, and they use applications to chat to each other to organize the race at the last minute.
You sound like you know about this, George.
I've just done a bit of research.
George came second last night.
They don't wear helmets.
He was horrified that no one wore helmets, but he's
exactly.
True.
And then these kinds of things happen. And you know what the saddest thing is? The saddest thing is that
these people watch all the Fast and Furious movies and think that they are in one.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they all know what happened to Paul Walker.
Yeah, well, some of them haven't really read that story yet. They still think Paul Walker's alive.
And then they kill pedestrians. Which is the saddest part. And they don't understand the implications. But I think the worst part is one or two of the illegal street racers were interviewed and said, well, he's going to carry on street racing because he knows how to drive. I mean,
the guy without the legs.
No, not the guy. Some other street racer, anonymously. Not the guy without the
legs. So that's ballsy. That's really ballsy. I don't care. I'm gonna drive. I'll drive again.
You do get modified cars and stuff, but I think the arrogance of these guys in not really caring, it's silly.
Arrest them. You are not Vin Diesel, you douchebag.
Or Diesel.
Is it Diesel?
In South Africa.
Hello, Vinny Diesel. I'm from Boksburg, panel beaters, Vinny Diesel.
And I can modify or drop your suspension.
Or put on fake pedals in the wrong place so that you can use the car even if you don't have legs.
Or put the shopping trolley push cart thing on the back.
Stop it, George. You don't have to be so mean. Really.
I'm not. Anyway, on a lighter note, Jerry Seinfeld is facing a lawsuit alleging to have sold a fake Porsche for $1.5 million.
Why does my Porsche sell for so much less? What happened?
Well, Jerry Seinfeld decided to auction his Porsche back in March 2016.
Was it a Porsche?
A Porsche. And I don't know if you know the famous speedster made famous by James Dean.
No.
So that's what it looks like. You'll know.
Oh, the one that he died in.
That's a very pretty car. So how many of those are there in the world? Only a few?
Well, of this particular model, which is aluminium, there are only 60 made.
Oh, wow. 61.
61 now, yeah. You're quite the Seinfeld this morning.
Because Jerry made
Jerry
a fake one.
One together.
I'm going to make this in my garage.
He probably did. Yeah. But he's apparently cooperating, and his lawyer says that this guy's not doing the right thing. Oren Snyder.
Damn you, Oren Snyder.
And apparently Oren Snyder just ignored Jerry's request for him to, provide me with evidence and I'll give you money back. Launched this lawsuit against Jerry Seinfeld. Some people just want 15 minutes of
crooked Jerry. People are calling him in the Hamptons
Crooked
now.
Jerry.
How many cars has he got? He's got something like 60 or 70 cars.
Seinfeld.
He and Jay Leno both collect cars. Jay Leno has a warehouse full of cars. You know why people hate rich people? Because of Jay Leno.
Because of Jay Leno.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll never forgive him for his son.
His
horrible
son?
Music he made.
Jay Leno, you're thinking of Tom Hanks. Jay Leno is the guy who used to...
Yeah, isn't Jared Leto...
No, Jared Leto is not related to Jay Leno.
Who's that guy's dad there?
Ben, you're mixing things up here.
Confusing me.
Listen, Ben Kaczynski.
Barkinski.
Sorry, I mean, it's a story of counterfeits. I'm getting all...
Yeah, you're getting mixed up with different kinds of counterfeits. No.
Ben Seinfeld.
Seinfeld collects a lot of cars, and so does Jay Leno. They're not related to each other. I don't know who their sons are. But they collect a lot of cars. All right.
Okay.
Back to you, George.
Back to me. Expensive car options for the super rich. So, you can add optional extras to your car when you buy it, like sunroof and in the old days, electric windows and aircon. Now they come standard. But the most expensive options for the rich. Ferrari golf bags with your Ferrari for $13,000, which equates to 175,000 rand.
Sorry, I'm going to use a technical golfing term here, but that just makes you look like a doer. It just does.
It does.
I've played golf with rich people before with class, and none of them come close to even touching that.
They wouldn't have a Ferrari golf bag.
You'll get one guy who got one golden handshake rock up with a Ferrari golf bag, and people will literally throw prunes at him. It's like such a not done thing.
Or acorns on a golf course.
Yeah.
Rolls-Royce Starlight Headliner.
What's that?
There's nothing more annoying than taking your favorite person out in the roller to find a nice spot to enjoy the night sky, only to find out that it's cloudy and to see the stars.
Okay.
So this $13,000 optional extra,
yes,
always has the stars above the Rolls Royce's headliner.
So in other words, you can project stars.
Fiber optics.
Good yes. Lord.
For $13,000 US, R175,000 again. A Rolls Royce drinks cabinet.
Okay, that
14,000 US dollars.
Leanne, that sounds good.
Yes, that I would get even before the Rolls Royce.
In fact, I think you do have one.
I just need the cabinet. I don't need the car.
Okay, what does it look like?
The cabinet.
Is it walnut with probably brass railings?
Maybe gold.
Gold railings.
Maybe gold. BMW i8 tailored luggage.
The i8 is the electric car, right?
Yeah, that's also fine.
269,000 rand.
Yeah. That's quite expensive for luggage.
It fits perfectly into the i8's trunk.
Okay, well, in that now you've won me over. All right,
and also you can't just drive an i8 with some horrible duffel bag. You just saw my hoy in the back there.
No, here's my credit card, George. You've convinced me.
I don't know. What's wrong with a duffel bag?
No, George, you've taken the responsible decision to get an electric car at the forefront of engineering innovation. You can't just have something from Sportsman's Warehouse. You can't have your under 16 hockey tour to Margate as your bag of choice.
But what if it's like, you know, one of those comfort blankets or something and you want your duffel bag?
Nah.
Your under 16 hockey tour to Margate bag.
Sure, we get holes in it and nothing is left.
Holes in it, strange stains, and smells a bit like the sea, yeah. What a Danube beat.
In an i8.
All right.
Ralph Lauren owns the most expensive car in the world. Does Bugatti he? 57 SC Atlantic, which is worth $40 million US.
What does it even look like?
It looks like something out of the Great Gatsby, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's massive.
Jeez, Ben's good, huh?
Jesus.
No, but I mean, like,
beautiful.
I get Jeez. That, but that's just not usable. It's just about having, I've got the most expensive car.
Well, when you're Ralph Lauren, I mean, a lot of the stuff he has isn't usable. It's just all for show.
Ralph Lauren so Bugatti. It's very nice. Jesus, just look that up. Oh, it's fantastic. What a beautiful car. And then there's this old creepy, oh, that's Ralph Lauren.
And that's it for today.
That's enough for us to chew on, trust me. It is a strange-looking car, though. I mean, it's sort of like the Batmobile.
Almost. It is.
Right?
But Ben's right. It's like the, you know,
kind of
the
Great Gatsby.
It's also like if a hearse became a sports car.
Yeah, it is very dark.
It's like, I've dropped the corpse, let me just chop this part off, and let's go race. Let's go street race.
This corpse. Is definitely Ben Seinfeld today.
Let's go and street race at Snake Road in my Bugatti. It looks like a hearse.
Just wear a helmet.
Oh, that's great. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. It's been a very busy morning. And don't forget, next week, our brand new series. It's going to be called Blind History. It's a crash course in getting to know history's greatest men and women. And by great, we don't always mean good. In the series, hosted by me and Anthony Medera from Taylor Blinds, we will tell you the stuff that the history books leave out. The sordid stories, the less well-known details, some of the stuff they didn't teach you at school. Each person will help you to put a piece in the puzzle and bring history to life for 15 conversational minutes. Keep an eye out for cliffcentral.com's website, and you will find Blind History next week, brought to you by Taylor Blinds. There's something to look forward to. There's also lots to look forward to today because it's Friday on cliffcentral.com. Don't you go away. We will see you Monday morning bright and early for this show. It's time for the unnews. Here's the most important stuff of the day that you need to be paying attention to. Cyril Ramaphosa is feeling pretty chuffed on how things went at the SONA. He promised to get tough on corruption and finally take action on Eskom. He also said this morning he was going to swim to Robben Island and back before walking on Sea Point Promenade with anyone joining him to receive a new tablet. Isn't that great? With Bosasa Fat Cats recently being arrested, the threat of jail time is now becoming very scary. Scary for correctional services, of course. They believe that just one Bosasa employee could seriously dent their catering budget. Two or more, they could be truly ruined. UEFA have just announced the launch of a streaming channel where live football will be made available for free to the world. When asked if the Champions League will appear on this site, they laughed and said, of course not. That people need to pay for. But children and women's football matches will be available daily. All right, have a happy weekend. We will see you next week. Behave yourself.
CliffCentral.com.